Welcome back to the show, everybody. Right off the bat, I just want to say the amount of times I have tried to record this episode or episodes, it's frustrating. I'm not a perfectionist. I know this isn't perfect, but I'm never satisfied. You know, I'm never satisfied, and it's just a bunch of takes. I think this is take. What does it say on my Zoom? Zoom 23. This is 23. Takes of just me trying to get this out. So trust me, the other versions kind of suck ass, to say the least. But anyway, what's up? What's new? Yes, this is a bonus episode. You might be like, Chaz, what's so special about it? Well, here's the thing, you guys. When you hit a drought, a dry spell, if you can guess on the show, but you still want to be kind of, you know, consistent with releasing stuff, I'm like, well, I guess to fill in those weeks where I don't have anybody on the show or when I'm not able to get anybody on the show, I should just, you know, do a solo podcast episode and just have it be a filler one. So if anybody cares what I have to say, you know, these bonus episodes might be for you. Chaz, what's so special about that, though? Well, you get to hear me talk. Number one, motherfucker. Just kidding. I don't know. There's probably nothing special about it at all. If you see these, you might skip it. So, whatever. I think it's just a chance for me to talk, kind of expand on stuff. You know, this podcast is, you know, the artist journey, the creative journey. And I myself am a creative, so why do I not get to have a voice, a say in the manner? You feel? I feel. So, anyway, yes, going forward, if you see a bonus episode, chances are it's a solo podcast episode, unless it says otherwise, in the show notes, and they will just be just kind of filler episodes, you know, just kind of like what's going on in the weekly life of Chaz, whatever I want to talk about, you know. So right off the back, though, I do want to talk about my other podcast I am on with Patrick Beatty over at Gaggle of Geeks. We just reached 1,000 followers on Instagram. I think that's really cool. I think that's a huge milestone, especially because the way the podcast has changed over the course of the years, not even years. I feel like I've known Patrick for a long time, but really, realistically, I've only known him for a little bit over a year now. But from the beginning of the podcast to where we are now, it's changed drastically, and it's been approved upon, and I'm proud, you know. Patrick works hard at that, so yeah, go over on Instagram, give us a follow over there. It's exciting. Tune in on Fridays. Gaggle of Geeks. But, speaking of Gaggle of Geeks too, today I will be on Button Mashing with Nate's Legend, which is another show of the Gaggle of Geeks network. So I will be discussing a video game. What is that video game? I just watched a video on it because I've never heard of it. I guess it's a new one. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's a dodgeball game. Knockout City. That's what it's called. We'll be discussing that today at 2 o'clock p.m. Mountain Eastern. Not Mountain Eastern. Mountain Time. Mountain is not Eastern Time. I know that for a fact. So be sure to tune in there. It'll be nice to be on that show, and I'm honored that Nate asked me to be over there. So, yes, Gaggle of Geeks. Check out everywhere. What else is new, you guys? I finished reading a book. I've finished reading a couple this year, maybe five, which isn't a lot, granted, but it's not as much as I want it to be, to say the least. But this book in particular is one that I bought when I was in college. It was in my creative writing class that my professor recommended that I buy it. So I bought it. And the way she pitched it to me was it's a book that goes missing off her shelf, and so she always has to buy multiple copies. Or if she lends it out to her friends, you know, to borrow and read, she never returns it. And sometimes it will randomly just appear in spots that she didn't remember putting it. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. And apparently it's a horror novel. So I was like, yeah, I will for sure buy that book, which I did. The book I'm talking about is called House of Leaves by Mark Z. Danielewski. And yeah, it's a challenging book. I'm not going to lie. It's very experimental in its nature. I bought it in 2014 and I just barely finished it in 2021. I've started this book so many times. At least maybe I've tried to read this book maybe 3 times a year. And I can never get past like 100 pages. Not because it's bad. It's not bad at all. I mean, this isn't really great promotion. It's not bad at all. Either life gets in the way or it's just I'm not in the mood to read it. But that's not to say it's not a great book, because it's very good. It's very well written. And the formatting of this book is really fucking unique, to say the least. There's footnotes. Like, the footnotes tell a story of the main narrator who's reading these notes from his neighbor, who is writing about this documentary that he supposedly saw. And the documentary is about this house that's bigger on the inside than the outside. And they kind of, like, I don't know, kind of comes across as a horror novel. But, and I guess in hindsight it is. But it's a really tragic love story. And I saw that on Reddit, to read it as a love story. And that's kind of what I did. So, and the fact that Reddit, there's Reddit threads on how to read this book, on what it means. People get different meanings from it. And so, depending on how you read the book, you will come away with it with a different interpretation than how somebody else did, which I find fascinating, you know. I think this was published in 2000, if I'm not mistaken. But I would definitely check out this book. It's a fun, challenging read. So if you want something fun, experimental, and challenging, here you go. I remember talking to my mom about it, saying I don't know if they could ever make this into a TV show or a movie. So it's one of the first books I've read where I'm like, there's probably no way they could adapt it. But turns out Mark Z. Danielewski has a screenplay stuff already written out for a TV show. So I guess in a way, TV structure would probably work best for it. Really have no idea how you can make that into a movie. So I would be curious to see if Amazon or Netflix or HBO or Apple TV or one of the, you know, streaming services optioned it, because it would be a really fascinating watch, and I really think there'd be a fan base for it, unless it's a cult following. But, you know, cult followings have their payoffs. I mean, because of Blade Runner, we got Blade Runner 2049, and that's a beautiful film. And it was a financial flop when it came out in the theaters. But yet they gave Denis Villeneuve a bigger budget to work with Dune, which some could argue is another cult classic. So I guess Warner Brothers likes to take some risks, if it's not Zack Snyder. Can't believe I just said that. Okay, what else is new? Well, because I finished this, I've been reading more Stephen King. Actually, I think he is by far my favorite author. Has been since probably junior high. I think my first book of his I read was Pet Sematary in 9th grade. So I have a collection of books of his on my bookshelf I have yet to touch, or that have been handed down to me from my grandma, or, you know, sisters, family members, friends, whatever have you. So I'm like, well, to get back more into reading, I'm just gonna read. I mean, that's all there is to it, you know. Haven't read this much since junior high or high school. Novels, anyway. Because, you know, college makes you read books. Quote unquote, read. They're like, hey, buy this book that's $80 that I wrote that we're never going to mention on this course. But you have to have it, or else you'll get docked. Anyway, that's a weird tangent. I do think, though, the more that you read, because I'm used to reading screenplays and I guess news articles as of 2020, but I do think there is a benefit of reading. Not only can you expand your vocab, but it also kind of changes how you use your imagination. And I was thinking about this last night, actually, because I made a playlist, and back in the day when I was listening to music, I would like envision these scenes, you know, or scenarios that would have the song in it, and the way it would play out, like, it was really fluid and stuff. So last night I was actually listening to a playlist, and it was harder for me to picture exactly what was going on. And I don't know if that's because of age or because of my lack of imagination. Who knows? But I think reading can definitely open that up and expand that. So I'm excited to get back into it. I think every writer should, especially because, I mean, if you are a screenwriter, you know that prose is different than that. You can get away with a lot more exposition in the narrative structure than you can the screenplay format. But to write in both, too, is also a challenge because, you know, one's present tense, one you can have fun with. So I think it's a good exercise, to say the least. It definitely keeps your mind going. I think that's my advice of the week, is to read multiple formats and to write multiple formats. And really let your mind do what it needs, and don't hinder yourself on your own fear of perfection, of not being perfect, right? Everything's perfectly imperfect, and that's beautiful. So I think if you can balance the two, you'll be on your way. What else is new? Utah Jazz. Okay, here's the thing. I used to play basketball in junior high, high school, and fourth grade. I'm sorry, from fourth grade to high school, like senior year. I played basketball for a league, and we had the same coach throughout all that. So, I mean, he was my stepdad, so he definitely, you know, stuck with us. And the same team members, for the most part, stayed. You know, we had a few changes here and there and whatever. But, God, watching basketball now, like, so the Jazz are in. They're number one seed. You know, they won their first series against Memphis, so now... whoever wins tonight's game out of the Clippers and Memphis. And by the way, I'm recording this on Sunday. So June 6th at, right now it's 11:10 a.m. Anyways, whoever wins tonight's game with the Mavericks and the Clippers will be playing the Jazz in the round two. So I think it's fun. Jazz are number one seed in the West Conference. They have the best record. Asterisk, you know, COVID schedule, right? COVID record, if you will. Which is cool. I think it's well deserved. But if anything, the Memphis games showed us that, number one, Memphis wanted to be there. So mad respect to them. They have a lot of talented players on there. But they also showed some red flags where the Jazz lack in a lot of areas. And I just hope the Jazz pull through. I really do. I do think they can. But I also think that they might struggle in a lot of areas. And I feel like it's just the Utah curse. And by that, I mean, if you watch the Jazz, if you watch the Utah Utes, BYU, Weber State, Aggies. Who else do we have? Real, our soccer team. The Bees, you know, the Salt Lake City Bees. Okay, I won't mention the Bees because I don't watch baseball. I think baseball is very boring. Baseball is equivalent to golf. Come at me. I don't care. Anyways, if you watch all these teams, it seems like they start okay. Like, they're kind of slow of getting their groove. And then they have to really fight for the win in the fourth quarter, right? But then they have random games where they come out with full force. An example is like the Jazz's latest game on Wednesday against Memphis. How they came out just full swinging, and, I mean... by the end of halftime, they were up like maybe, what was it? Hold on. I gotta make sure I get this right, because I thought it was really cool. Jazz versus Grizzlies, halftime. Ad free. Whatever. Look, they were up quite a bit. At one point in the game, they were up above, not above, they were up by maybe 50, 45 points, which was like a huge blowout, right? But then they hit a drought, and Memphis was creeping back up, and I'm like, if you guys fucking lose this last game, the fourth game, or was it the fifth game? I think it was the fifth game. If you lose the fifth game, so the Jazz's fourth one, from a 50-point lead, it's just no wonder that the Jazz are being laughed at, you know? And we got that sense in the first game against Memphis, because Memphis really made their mark, and it hurt us, and... hearing the announcers be like, well, I thought Jazz were number one seed. You know, it's just like nobody's taking it serious. And I think that it's just frustrating in a lot of areas. But anyways, so having had played basketball, I mean, not professionally at all, but, you know, from fourth grade to 12th grade or whatever, the number one thing that we were taught, at least on our team, was to not settle for threes if there is a drive open for a layup for a bigger guy or for a guard or whatever, you know, like layups are more successful than three-pointers. And I know some could argue for the Jazz because the Jazz have, I think they have the number one three-point percentage right now, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. But either way, the amount, how many threes they actually shoot and miss when they could have made a layup to increase the score, it's just, it's baffling, especially since they have a 7-foot-1 center who seems like he's soft serve. I mean, I respect Gobert, but dude, dunk that motherfucker, you know? Don't settle for a fadeaway layup when you literally just dunk within the span of like 2 feet or whatever. I mean, you probably don't have to jump that high, dude. So it's just frustrating stuff like that that makes you kind of like, oh God. Like, they could easily lose if they settle for the threes. And I think the first game kind of showed that. And plus, you know, here's the thing too. The Jazz keep getting out-rebounded by the guards of the other team. And I don't know how, because like the guards are like, what, I don't know, what, 6'1" to 6'4" maybe. But the fact that they're going in there and getting second chance shots because we can't get a defensive rebound, it's really degrading and just sad. So I hope that they pull through, they fix those issues for the second round, and that they give it their all, because I do think this might be a year, you know. Watch me. I hope I don't eat my words. I might be eating my words come the other game. So let's just hope that's not the case. But anyways, so whoever wins Mavericks and the Clippers game will be playing the Jazz. I personally hope it's the Mavericks. I feel like the Clippers are always in it. So I think the Mavericks and the Jazz will be kind of a fun matchup, hopefully. Anyway, so that's my rant with basketball. I try to keep on top of it. I don't have cable TV, so it's always hard to like watch every single game, you know. Usually have to be with family or find other ways to watch it, but... what else is new, you guys? I don't remember if my last episode, because the amount of times it takes to record these episodes, it's just a lot, like I stated earlier. So I don't know if I mentioned in the posted released episode of the first solo podcast that I was fully vaccinated or if I got my first shot. I think I mentioned I got my first shot. Yeah, I think my second attempt at recording, or I don't know. I tried record as episode 2 for the past couple weeks. So I think in one of those other recordings I mentioned I was fully vaccinated. But anyways, yes, I am fully vaccinated. It feels great. It has enabled me and Patrick to do in-person podcasts now at his studio. So it's really cool, really nice, really fun. I thought it would give me more... how do I want to say this? That would release any anxiety I had. And unfortunately, that's not entirely the case, because there's reports that we might not reach herd immunity. And it's just, I don't know. We're all opening back up now. And it's just, I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting, to say the least. Just what a time to be alive, you know? Anyways, yeah, the amount of times I'm trying to record these, it's a lot. The amount of sighs and fuck bombs and stop recording, you know? It's a lot, because I don't like having to edit a lot of stuff out in post. I don't like to have to, censor stuff out. I don't know. I the less work it is for me, the more fun it is, to say the least. But something, what did I watch recently that reminded me of that? Bo Burnham's latest special on Netflix. I think it's called Inside. Check that out. Patrick and I sat down to watch it on Friday after our show, and it was incredible, man. I'm not a huge Bo Burnham fan. I'm not really familiar with his work. I know that he did Eighth Grade, where he directed and wrote that, and I thought that was a really cute movie. I also know that he acted in Promising Young Woman, which was up for an Oscar, which is really cool. So, but as far as his jokes go, I'm not really familiar with him. I just know that he does musical stuff. So going into this blind, not knowing what to expect, was a huge treat. Made me kind of realize, like, dang, why was I not that creative during quarantine? And it kind of just deflated our egos quite a bit. But it's really cool. But he includes a lot of outtakes of him, you know, like messing up on a song verse or starting strong, like, you know, looking at the camera for a bit, but then screwing that up and just sitting there and, you know, you hear sighs, you hear subtle fucks, you hear like, oh, God damn it, you know, and like irritation. It's a process. I mean, that's the process of creating anything, period. So to see that side of it felt super relatable and it felt super raw, and I loved it. So check that out. Especially if you are a millennial. I don't know if the older generations will like it, like Gen X or boomer status, but it definitely rang true for the younger ones. So it was cool stuff. Anyway, that's all I got for you. We'll keep this short. Have a happy Sunday. I'm going to go make more coffee. And yeah, stay tuned. I will be writing a blog, by the way, shortly. It'll be released on my website. That'll be linked in the show notes. So go ahead and check that out. It'll be touching on topics I sort of talked about today-ish. I'm being very vague on that. But that topic is actually one that I was kind of like, well, how, which format or medium, which medium do I want to, like, you know, utilize to convey what I want to say about this certain topic and whatever. So I debated doing a new vlog. I debated on doing just a short podcast bonus episode on it. And what I realized is that my workflow is I stumble around my words quite a bit. I mean, you could probably tell that already. And I even have notes written out for the structure of this. It took me 20 takes to be like, maybe I should write some notes. Anyway, so for me to really say what I want to say, I'm going with the blog format because I think writing will allow my thoughts to flow on it and I could just edit stuff out, you know, and revise and fix up stuff. So yeah, just be on the lookout for that on my blog section of my pod or my website. And check out Gaggle Geeks tonight, today, yeah, with Nate's Legend. And yeah, hit me up on Twitter, you know, let me know if you have any questions. Let me know that you're listening. You can follow me on your boy Chazze. Follow the podcast at Over Under Podcast without the A, because some dingleberry took that. So everything will be in the show notes. So happy Sunday, and I will see you on the next show.